Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Real Estate Pros, the podcast for real estate business owners, salespeople, and property managers, where you'll get marketing ideas, inspiring interviews, actionable tips and strategies to help grow your business. I'm Josh Cobb. Running a profitable real estate business both in good times and a tough market is what great real estate salespeople and principals do. While most might look at how those successful people do what they do on a daily basis, there's a small few who dig much deeper to look at the why. Why that person and their business is successful. And more often than not, it's so much more than just marketing tactics, advertising, or branding. In this episode, I'm joined by Tanja Jones, an expert on mindset and peak performance in real estate, and has worked with some of our industry's finest professionals across Australia. This episode is all about understanding the long game and building a career or your business that not only succeeds, but dominates your competition, no matter what the market conditions. This episode is brought to you by Steps, advanced real estate websites and digital marketing solutions. Find out more at steps.com.au. So Tanja, thanks so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us today. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you, Josh.
Great to have you on the show. For those folks who don't know who you are, tell us a little bit about your introduction to real estate, because I think it's a really interesting story. And tell us a little bit about what a day-to-day looks like for Tanja Jones these days.
Okay, so my journey really started as a vendor. So my husband and I, October last year, were looking to sell our family home. We had an existing relationship with an agent who we really liked, and we'd sort of had that relationship with him for the last year, or the year leading up to when we'd made the decision. However, we did make the choice to bring in a couple of other agents. It'd been a while since we've had an appraiser. We thought, let's, you know, throw the net wide and see what lands. And interestingly, back then, Agent A that we had the relationship with was, you know, I guess you could say he assumed the gig was his, and he had every reason to assume that because we gave him all the right signs that it was his. And when we did tell him we were going to get a couple of other opinions, he was physically shocked and obviously disappointed. And that's, you know, valid. Agent B came in, and I really liked her because she was getting the highest value for the homes that she was selling. However, whenever we were communicating, she kept cutting us off. So it wasn't, she wasn't really listening to us, and my husband doesn't like that at all. And then Agent C came in, and here's what I call Switzerland. You couldn't, what I mean by that is you just could not feel him at all or his agenda. It felt like he was really there for us. He just followed our lead. We sat down on the table, you know, he connected with our kids and our dogs, and that's not everyone's cup of tea. You know, I know from speaking to some agents, that's a real issue that they face when they're afraid of dogs, and how do they build rapport when they're distracted by the pooch. But then when we sat down at the dining table, he just said, you know, so guys, what would you love? And one of the things that he did, Josh, that I really admire from a connection point of view, is he physically had in front of him his collateral, and he pushed it aside and leant in and just said, you know, tell me about you guys and, you know, what would you love? So he was really talking my language and connected to us. So it was really obvious to me that there was a big difference between the service levels of agents. And because that's been my background for 26 years, I was like, wow, maybe there's an opportunity for me to be a contribution here. Maybe I can actually be of service and help some of these hardworking agents that are doing really long hours increase their ability to connect, you know, deeply, authentically communicate and boldly contribute to those that they're serving and obviously themselves and their families.
So take us to today. What are you up to? What is your day-to-day look like these days?
So I spend most of my days connecting with traditionally general managers or COOs of real estate franchisors. And now what's actually been coming my way is property development groups and just really finding out what are their key challenges and problems. And the majority is most of them can spend anywhere up to 80% of their time navigating those people performance and productivity issues. So I spend a lot of my time really hacking into what are the challenges, how do they want them fixed, and what value does that mean to them? And then I either speak at their events or facilitate training programs and workshops. I do some one-on-one coaching and am also a regular contributor to Elite Agent magazine. So I'm either out there researching clients I haven't worked with or being of service to the clients that I now service.
I think it's really interesting. There's a number of people that I've met just of late who have transitioned from a bad experience with a real estate agent or a property manager for that matter, not just salespeople. And they're now in the space of helping create a better experience for people who are just like them.
Yeah.
And I think it's fascinating because they come unencumbered to the industry and no sort of traditional thinking of how real estate sales or property management should be done. So I think it's fascinating, and they're doing fantastically as you are as well. So, but something I was quite intrigued about while I was researching for catching up with you today is that I discovered that you spent 5 years researching the real estate industry before actually diving in. What were you looking for? What did you find, and why did you decide to set up shop in real estate? Why was this the industry for you?
It really was. It was my own personal experience. That it really comes down to that. I wanted to find out, you know, in business, business is really simple. We're either solving people's problems or adding benefit. That's really all we're doing. And then we need to have a value proposition. So business, we're either helping people make more money or save money. We're saving them time, which equals money, or we're helping them build connection, which is what Steps does. You help your clients expand their connectivity with their end users. And that's extremely valuable. So, you know, I wanted to find out, is there a way that I could help them make more money or save them time, which equals money? Mm. And it just became really clear from my own experience. And then from doing research, asking people what their experience has been like dealing with real estate agents. And it just, you know, it's really organic, Josh. It just, for some reason, didn't feel right to me that real estate agents were getting painted with the same brush. Mm. People would generalize if they had a bad experience. You know, I've heard so many people on a daily basis say, oh, they're all the same. And I don't know, Josh, for whatever reason, I felt like I wanted to go into bat and say, well, help me understand why you say that, because that generalization, I think, is really damaging, you know. So personal experience, wanted to know how I could be of service. And also from a business perspective, I spent 3 years studying entrepreneurial leadership. And, you know, if you want to be successful in business, find a business that's a lucrative industry that has problems that you can solve. And the real estate industry has a huge appetite for training and development, which is my space. So I wanted to know if I could be of service and then also, you know, make a healthy living for myself and my own family as a result.
No doubt. Well, it sounds like you spent a lot of time. It almost seems like you had the why, I suppose, of wanting to get involved, but you essentially spent that 5 years, I guess, validating your reasoning. Would that be a fair comment?
Sure. Yeah. And you were saying before that some of the people that are doing really well are the ones that don't come from the industry. And I've been saying to people this year, you know, I'm a rookie in the industry. And they're like, actually, that's a really good thing because, you know, you've innovative thinking and you've got sort of fresh eyes and energy. So I think that approach has been really healthy.
Well, your rap sheet is pretty impressive. You've worked with some of the best in the business and companies like Marshall White, Lang & Simmons, Stockdale and Lego, just to name a few.
Yeah.
In your experience, if we look at it from a high level, why do some agents fly and others seem to struggle to put deals together or reach their goals, whatever that might be, if we sort of look at it from a high level?
I think it comes down to three core things, Josh. The first one would definitely be state. 95% of what we do is based in our subconscious, which is full of all of our negative beliefs. And often when we, inverted commas, fail, we unconsciously collapse making mistakes or failing with being a failure. And that really affects our energy and our momentum and our mojo to keep going. And we tend to take things really personally. And people can feel that. My premise is people buy people, not products. So when you rock up, your state is everything. How you show up is really going to increase your ability to partner the sale of their biggest asset. The second one, Josh, is strategy. You know, plan to achieve success on purpose. And there's brilliant coaches out there nationally and internationally that are giving so much information away as to how to achieve this successfully. So there's no shortage of information. However, information without application remains information. So replicate those that are doing really well or develop a strategy that has you succeed on purpose. And there's a specific strategy that I use in my own business that I really encourage, you know, people to adopt in their own. It's super simple. Josh, I don't know about you, but I don't want to work through a 42-page business plan. I want something that's visual and simple. So I use Brendan Burchard's leadership model, which is part of a book that he wrote that I can talk about a bit later. And then the third thing is service. Lose your Mother Teresa's quote, which I love, lose yourself in service of others. Be client-centric focused and be over there with the client. And Tom Ferry, who's an amazing international real estate coach, Hugh, you're nodding, yeah, you know well. He said at ARIC this year, you know, people can smell commission breath. And I think he's spot on there. You know, it really the core values for me are how can we deeply connect, how can we authentically communicate, and how can we be a bold contribution?
I think that's great. I might add an extra one to that I think you've spoken about a little bit in an article that you've written recently or an interview that you might have done about the power of listening and active listening. Tell us a little bit about that and maybe elaborate on the article that you I think it was in the Lead Agent.
Beautiful Samantha and Mark, they provide an opportunity for me to share some stuff that hopefully makes a difference.
Hello to Mark and Samantha.
Hi guys. Love your work. Josh, you know, often think we're really good listeners, you know, we do all the right things. Even you and I now, as we're communicating, we're nodding and and giving off all the physical, signs that we're actually taking in what the other person is saying. But more often than not, we are actually listening to the little voice in our head that is judging and assessing, agreeing, disagreeing, preparing our response, or unfortunately, in some cases, even our defense. And people may not know why they feel disconnected, but that is a big contributor. So the gift of listening is a powerful tool to be able to listen to the first layer, which is what people are saying, the words, what I'm saying right now. Behind that, Josh, is people's worries, the things that people want to avoid or their fears and concerns. And then way behind that, which is the golden layer, are people's desires, their hopes and dreams. So in sales, this skill is critical, and also particularly, Josh, in property management, because, you know, I bow down to property management teams because they are professional problem solvers. Every time that phone rings, you can guarantee it's a problem. You have to be pretty resilient and not take things personally. So effective listening gives you the ability to be able to deconstruct the communication and increase your ability to elicit people's hopes and dreams and elevate those and speak to those, and then come back and acknowledge, yeah, I hear, you know, these are some of your challenges and concerns, and I'm really here to be of service to that. It's a tool that, as I said, can dramatically improve sales agents' ability to convert a listing presentation to a listing, and also it's a great tool for property management teams to effectively problem solve. And really, Josh, people just want to get gotten. They just want the experience of being gotten. That's all we want.
No doubt. Look, I think it's fantastic advice, and something I think you're great at, Tanjir, is you're a giver, right? You do give a lot in the short space of time that I've had the chance to meet you and spend some time chatting with you. Look, there's no doubt that you give a lot to people.
Thank you.
And with no real, there's no sense of you wanting anything in return. It's just that you give. And
It's actually a core value of mine. I do it intentionally because it's who I am. It's not what I do, you know.
But that comes across. Yeah, and that comes across, and that feels genuine. And I think, you know, like Tom Ferry's quote, you can smell commission breath. I haven't heard that one. That's great.
Yeah, it is.
But something I've been talking to a lot of people about lately is traditionally in sales and marketing, you know, we're marketers at heart.
Yep.
And essentially what salespeople and marketers have done forever and a day is try and create value in their proposition for them. It's all about them. It's, you know, it's very much about, look, well, you know, you list with us, we can get you X amount of dollars above what, you know, whatever it might be. But I think what you've touched on is when we add value and give everything to someone else, that gives value to them, not us. And
absolutely,
in turn, that creates value for us.
Oh.
So I'm really curious to maybe just deconstruct that a little bit with you and have a look at what are some of the real sure sign ways that maybe some of the people that have just joined the industry, some of the people that have just come into real estate thinking, look, you know, I'd love to make a career in real estate. What are some things, maybe just if we have a look at a listing presentation, what can they focus on there to really add more value to the client, and maybe just deconstruct what we've already spoken about?
Yeah, sure. I think the first thing is, in any industry, but particularly in real estate, is you must have a really clear why. And I think there's, you know, Josh Fegan's sort of deconstructed, there are seven core problems that you know, real estate agent can solve for a potential vendor. So A, have a clear why. Why real estate? Why sales? Why does that inspire you? Because there's going to be really tough days where you're going to feel knocked down and you're not going to want to get back up the next day. And your why is the catalyst or the fuel to have you keep going. So that's the first one. I do a lot of work with agents around that, and I love Simon Sinek's work around the golden circle and, you know, understand your why. It really is the essence of everything that I do. Then get interested in solving those problems. So really connect with your client and find out, you know, why am I here? And don't be afraid to also find out, you know, I invite real estate agents particularly to ask a potential vendor, you know, can I ask what your previous experience with an agent was like? And if they go, oh, amazing, you go, okay, great, well, you know, how come I'm here, you know, or not so flash, great, let me know what didn't work for you, because I'm really committed to understanding that. What I love about that question is vendors get that you are so interested in being of service to them and adding value to them, even to the point where you're willing to find out what hasn't worked in the past, because you can be sure a vendor will be looking for that to be repeated in their exchange with you. And in fact, they will perceive that, like everyone else does, generalize that you're just going to be the same. So already they're kind of guarded and on the back foot. So you have to prove yourself. So I believe in transparency, Josh. I believe in, you know, go there with intent. Know why you're there. Know that you're there. It's context is decisive is a distinction. Don't go in there to land a deal or close a deal. Go there to open a relationship. Go there to solve a problem. When you have a powerful context, it completely reconfigures the thoughts you have and the language you use for the people in front of you. If I go in focusing on getting a sale and getting my commission because I'm down on last month, you'll feel that.
Well, just to pause you there for a moment, I think that's a really interesting point, because in many, many seminars and sales conferences that I've been to, you know, and You hear sales trainers or principals tell stories of where they've been in a situation where their directive to their salespeople each morning is don't come back without a listing, or don't come back without a, you know, you've got three appointments today, you have to bring back just one listing. And so it kind of goes against the grain a little bit to what you're suggesting. But I think there's a new breed of agent who are certainly adopting what you're talking about.
Oh, there are.
And are doing fantastically.
And they inspire me every day. I mean, there's some amazing ones that are doing that. And you're right, context is decisive. And it's, look, business is a game. We are here to make money. We're not, even though I give a lot, I'm here to make a living and provide for my family and live my own lifestyle. But, you know, I don't do that by going out there wanting to get my results. I have my targets and I know my numbers, but I do it by delivering on my core values. And I think people can really feel that for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a really powerful thing. Well, look, something I'd love to do is turn the spotlight on to you a little bit, Tandra, okay. and look at moments of your career that have made you who you are today. We often hear the 20,000 foot view of someone's success in real estate, but here on the Real Estate Pros podcast, we want to take it down to the ground level of actual moments in time of moments where you felt like you'd failed or succeeded in your career. So with that in mind, can you tell us a story? Take us there with you to that exact moment. Of a moment where you felt like you'd failed, whether you thought maybe real estate's not really for me. Tell us what happened and how it made you feel.
Well, I will tell my most embarrassing story ever. However, it wasn't in real estate, but it is relevant because in my role as a facilitator within real estate, I was facilitating. So is that okay if I talk
Absolutely.
About that? And
Absolutely.
There are key lessons in this story that, you know, people I hope will really relate to. This is a good one. All right. So I put my hand up to MC a property investment seminar a number of years ago with an amazing organization. So I used to do a fair bit of MC and facilitator work, and this was the biggest gig I've ever done. Okay. So it was a bit of a stretch for me. So I was already expanded, but, you know, I was keen to give it a go. So if you can imagine a beautiful hotel, Sofitel in Melbourne, big double oak doors open up. There is a crew of 40 people with orange T-shirts. There's a film crew. There's 600 chairs. There's all the goodie bags. And there's a little production table and there's a big stage, lights, camera, action. And I'm like, okay, cool, this is good. I can do this. And people start to register and arrive. And this is like a U2 concert, like rock star energy. They bolt to the front of the room, almost knocking off chairs. Like the energy was high octane. And the keynote speaker was the divine Matt Church, who I know you've interviewed Christina Ghiotti recently, and she works directly with Matt, and he's amazing. So I met Matt for the first time, and he's like, hey, you know, I hear you're emceeing today. Awesome. I'm like, cool. And we had a bit of a chat. And the first lesson for me, Josh, was I didn't get a chance to speak to the client until 11:30 the night before the event. And I had done some research on all the speakers. My role was to hold the 2.5-day program together and introduce the 12 speakers that were there. I researched the speakers as best I could. And 12:30 the night before, I finally get to connect with the client because he'd been overseas. And he says, Tandra, I don't want any notes on stage. Now, that was really tricky because this was a big gig for me with lots of detail. I should have in that moment honored my truth, Josh, and said, well, I don't know if I can do that. But my ego got in the way. I didn't want to let him down. And I went, okay, I can do this. Lesson number one, always honor your truth. Don't pretend that you've got things sorted when you don't, because it's a big risk. Lesson number two, when sitting with Matt Church and he has a Red Bull and you don't drink Red Bull, but you think you should because, you know, when in Rome, do what the Romans do. I was like, yeah, you know, I'll have a Red Bull. And it really elevated my already high heartbeat. So it was like, okay, well, I don't feel present or grounded. So the room was full. The music was pumping. It was then my turn to get up on stage and open the space. I get up on stage. The energy was high. And 30 seconds in, I go completely blank. And it's like, insert the sound of crickets here. And then I don't know what I was thinking, but I thought all of a sudden I was a stand-up comedian and I could create some segue about the Australian Open being on and the people got their tickets and fail dismally. So you've got 600 people that are flying high that just drop, and it's my job to keep them elevated. All I could hear was the pumping of my heartbeat in my eardrums, and I look at the client at the back of the room and I say, I'm sorry, Jason, I'm going to need you to take over. I've gone completely blank. So Jason walks up to the stage and I walk off, and Matt Church approaches me and I'm like bowing down to him saying, I am so sorry. Like, I don't know what to say. And he holds my hands and says, Tanja, this is a defining moment. Jason gets up on the stage and does his best to elevate them back up to the level. And he must be thinking to himself, who is this chick that I've got to do this, and what's going to happen now? Matt Church gets up on stage and he's one of the top 10 speakers around the globe. So he's got the meeting out of the palm of his hand within seconds. And I go and sit down at the production table, and Josh, I'm literally sitting there with I felt like I had a boxing ring in my head. On one corner was my ego going, get your stuff and get out of here. They won't even notice you've gone. Just leave. You can't do this. And in the other corner is my soul going, suck it up. Learn a lesson, shift your focus, get back in the game and start listening for a segue that you can connect to and get up there and recover and be of service because you said you would. This went on for like a good 15 minutes. I chose to stay because I wanted to honour my commitment to the client and I didn't want to quit. Another great lesson. Matt gets off the stage. I get back up and you feel the hesitance. You feel people concerned about what's going to happen now. And this made such a difference. You know, Josh, I stood up on stage and in the fourth row from the front, I'll never forget, was this angel in white that just looked at me with their fists clenched and going, looking up at me going, you can do it, mouthing, you can do it. And I just took a breath. I composed myself and got on with the job. Now, that was a pretty big public failure and I wanted to run for sure. But I also wanted to fulfill, I wanted to know myself as my word. I wanted to know myself as a woman with integrity and to not fail, as hard as that was. And, you know, the first night was crap. But then the next day I came back and I turned it around, and by the end of the workshop or the seminar, I'm hugging people. They're going, oh my God, that was huge. The client was wrapped and it all worked out, but copped some pretty big lessons along the way. And one of the biggest lessons, Josh, especially in this industry, people, you know, in any industry, the number one feared thing on the planet is public speaking. We would rather be in the coffin than deliver the eulogy. And so if you're an auctioneer or if you're in people's living rooms and you're afraid to speak, you want to start getting comfortable with that. So that was one way to actually get comfortable, because there was that, you know, that was kind of rock bottom. So now you could put me in a room of 4,000 and I'm done, you know, like I'm very vulnerable and transparent. So there were many lessons in there, but it was a pretty public stuff up.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, that is such a powerful story. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think you're right. There is a lot of lessons in that for anyone in business. I don't think just in real estate. And I keep coming back to the five P's. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the five P's. Tanja, I think there's a bit of a lesson in that. And for our listeners who don't know what the five P's are, it's preparation prevents piss poor performance.
Hell yeah.
I think it is such a powerful story in that being prepared for those moments in the lounge room with the vendor or the landlord. And a lot of people will say, look, you know, fake it until you make it. And I really don't like that term.
I agree.
Because I think you're really making up for something that you don't understand and something that you can't communicate. And people will disagree and say that, you know, it might be your excitement and enthusiasm will win at the end of the day, but really nothing beats great preparation, right?
For sure. And I said this actually in an interview with Sam from Lead Agent Magazine recently, that I think agents have an opportunity to really trust that if they've done their training and they know their stuff, then you can stand solid on the foundation of your knowledge and wisdom. But I think it's dangerous if we become too reliant on the scripts and dialogues. And when we're with others, we're focused on step 14 of the script versus like you're doing now. You know, we're having an interview, you've got some core questions, but you're navigating where the energy and the conversation's going. And people want real people who are in the conversation rather than process orientated. So I think you're right. Preparation is key. Know your stuff. And even if you're a rookie, I think it's okay to still be, you know, honest and you know, use the support of your team and your principal as a, you know, a backup. And if this is your first listing, you can say we, you know, in our experience, lean into the team that is supporting you when you're out there on your own and speak from that place that you're part of the team rather than, oh my God, it's my first time. I have no idea what I'm doing. So I think that's critical.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, let's take it to the other end of the spectrum, Tanja. Let's have a look at a story that of a moment where you felt like the formula that you had in place was the right one to grow a business. And again, just like you did with that really powerful story, take us there with you of a moment that stands out for you in your career that you felt like the path you were on was the right one, and maybe a moment or a client that you were working with or a moment in time where you felt like, hey, you know, I really got this. Things are on the right track for me.
Yeah, I've had numerous of those, certainly in real estate. And honestly, they're really simple. Like, it's actually really simple. It could be an initial conversation with a client. So I remember having a conversation with a general manager of a major agency. And we just had a coffee and I said, look, I'm doing some research. What's it like to be you? You know, we were just in a cafe and I said, tell me, what's it like to be you every day? What's the stuff that you bump up against? And you know, they shared it really openly with me, and a massive amount of trust was developed really, really quickly. And I said, you know, okay, well, how does this affect you delivering on your role as a general manager? And how much of your time do you spend navigating those people performance and productivity issues? And they said up to 80%. And I was like, wow, okay, so up to 80% of your time on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and yearly basis is spent in unproductive tasks that are disabling you from going and delivering on your strategic direction. They're like, yep. And I'm like, okay, what if we halved it? What if we got you 40% more time back to grow your business? What would that be like? And they were like, awesome. And I said, great. Well, that's what I'm here to do. And they were like, let's do it. I think that felt successful to me because I'm committed to really hacking into what are the current realities for the people that I'm here to serve. And agents can do this with vendors and buyers, and property managers can do this with, you know, landlords and tenants. Again, I'm going to repeat myself. Mother Teresa's, lose yourself in service of others. Be so over there and so interested in almost living a day in their life, you can't help but build that kinesthetic connection where they feel you're genuinely on their side. So it's not a big story. I've got a couple of big stories from past life in retail where, you know, I was able to grow businesses by 65% in under 12 months, and it was really innovative ideas and teamwork and collaboration that did it. I can deconstruct that if you want to, but if I'm specific about real estate, what you can count on me for, Josh, is I will never have arrived anywhere. I am an eternal student. The more I learn, the more I realize I need to learn a lot more, you know. And I think if we feel that we've arrived anywhere, we lose touch with what's important to the people that we're here to contribute to, and I think that they can feel it. So for me, every day is a new day. Every conversation is a new conversation. I never assume that tomorrow's client is the same as today's. And that is deeply rewarding for me. It means that I'm able to get an insight into their reality pretty quickly. But as a result, from a business perspective, my conversion is pretty swift. And I use that as an example because I think when agents apply that approach in a listing presentation, you can really, if you understand your client's challenges and their desired end results, you can reverse engineer your content to tick all the boxes. It's not hard.
No. Look, I think it's such a powerful service that you're giving to real estate professionals, and you're coming from the perspective of the vendor.
Always.
And I think that's something that a lot of where a lot of mistakes are made. They're not thinking, you know, what's really in it for the vendor. And I think you know, when we're building, I'll use this in context. When we're building a website for a client, the first thing I challenge them to think about is when someone lands on their website, you need to be able to finish the sentence, "I'm looking for." And if you can finish that sentence on your website, you have a unique advantage over anyone else who's just talking about themselves. So when someone lands on your website, they're thinking, "I need" or "I want," and you need to finish that. And I think it's the same thing in a lounge room. When someone gets you in to talk about selling their home, they're thinking, "I want" or "I need." And it's your job to really extract that. Would you agree?
Wholeheartedly. Yeah, wholeheartedly. And I think you've really touched on an extremely valid point, and that is you must put yourself in the other person's shoes. You must. Because then you can really identify what's important to them. And time is really important too. I know there's, and you would have seen this more than me, there's so many websites, and you talked about this beautifully before. We tend to be very self-focused, and a lot of our, and I'm saying ours in real estate professionals now, our social media communication is very self-focused, or our website content is very we, this, that, and the other, which is great. You want to get to that eventually. But, I'm more interested, and I'm keen to get your perspective on this. One of the things I do is encourage principals and teams to tell the story of the people that they're serving. If you did, I watched a lot of the communication on Facebook over the weekend of all the sales that were happening. And, you see $1,000 over reserve, or, $65,000 over reserve. Awesome. But what does that mean to Jenny and Peter? Does that mean they're upgrading their car? Does that mean they're taking their kids to Disneyland? Does that mean they're, they're able to, provide that leukemia treatment for their son? It doesn't matter. Like, tell that human story, because real estate is a massive opportunity to expand your lifestyle. And for me, agents, when they come from the place that it's a privilege to partner the sale of someone's biggest asset, or in property management, if you come from the place of it's an honor to protect, preserve, and reserve the investor's asset and provide a home for a tenant that is at potentially the beginning of their home ownership phase, when we come from that place, I think our dialogue and our message to market is more palatable for future clients, because we're waving our pom-poms for them. And inadvertently, we are sort of sharing how good we are, but it's not all about us.
No.
You don't want to hear about, my wins. You want to hear about my clients' wins.
That's powerful. It's a powerful thing. And it gets talked about at virtually every conference that you go to for real estate. And there's always someone talking about, look, you need to listen, or you need to put yourself in the landlord or the vendor's shoes. And look, the great agents do. Great agents do. And they're the ones that are going to be around when the auction's clearance rate drops from 60% to 10%.
Yeah.
And times are really tough. They're the ones that are going to be around in the industry, and the cowboys will leave, and the good guys will always be around. So I think it's testament to, exactly what you're saying. The good agents are always doing that. Well, take us to today, Tanja. What are you working on right now that's getting you excited and fired up?
So I'm in the process of completing an empowered leadership model, which is pretty much a simple business strategy to help any general manager, COO at a corporate level, or even can be applied at a principal level. One of the things that I'm seeing a lot of, Josh, is the lack of strategy in business. And this comes with all the best intentions, because real estate agents often work, for another brand, and they earn their stripes and they achieve some success and think, hey, I can do this. And then they go and open their own office, and they open the door and they've got tables and chairs and phones and bums on seats, but they've never had leadership training. And so this creates many challenges, unfortunately, the risks of not having a strategy are you experience the cost of high staff turnover, and it also takes you away from going and growing the business. So I'm currently finishing off the empowered leadership strategy, which uses Brendan Burchard's empowered leadership model, which has six key elements: envision, then it is engage, then it is embody, then it's empower, then it's evaluate, and encourage. These six pillars really create a strong strategy for you to be able to achieve incredible success in your business. And now I'm deconstructing every element and introducing the world's leading thought leaders around leadership, productivity, people, performance, and building in their models within Brendan's model. So the likes of Simon Sinek, some NLP practices, Brené Brown, Dr. Brené Brown, who's the specialist in, human interaction. That excites me, because it's literally a simple model that leaders can then deliver with their people with checklists and step-by-step guide to increase their probability of achieving success on purpose. Because in my research, 95% of real estate professionals are feeling like they're stuck, going nowhere, or oscillating, taking two steps forward and two steps back in all the important areas of their life, meaning we go home at the end of the day exhausted, unsatisfied, and unfulfilled. And our families aren't getting the best of us, and we're certainly not getting the best of us. And that's not okay with me. So I want people and teams to achieve success on purpose. And I really believe this is something I've been honestly developing unconsciously for 26 years. And now I'm pulling it together in a simple model that is foolproof. That excites me because I can go and partner people and sit with them and deliver on that strategy. And then they have all the tools and resources they need to elevate their people to be successful.
Yeah.
And the only reason, Josh, that I was able and have been able to increase businesses by up to 65% in 12 months is by doing the things that are in this model. Teams need to know why they're there. It's amazing how many real estate businesses, they don't know why they're there. They don't have core values, or if they do, their words just, you know, shoved on a wall somewhere that mean nothing, unfortunately. They don't have a clear financial game plan. And I say game plan intentionally. Business is meant to be fun. Life is meant to be fun. They haven't got their people in, or as leaders, we're not embodying our core values. And therefore, it's really hard to try and earn respect and trust from your team if you aren't demonstrating the values you say you should. It's a big issue. And many real estate businesses are assessing their performance every month, which means 12 times a year we're checking how we're going. That's too reactive. This is a nimble industry. We need to be looking at how we're going daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and yearly. So that excites me. And it excites me to work with the existing clients that I have. And I also feel really blessed. I've been contacted by some really major property development companies across Australasia who are wanting to have these kinds of conversations. They're contacting me saying, Tanja, how can we have our people love to be here? How can we have our people feel like this business is their business? I love those kind of conversations.
Yeah, no, look, it's such a powerful thing. And I liken strategy to slowing down to speed up. And I don't think enough businesses really sit down to look at those things and adopt some of the frameworks that you've talked about, for example. So, look, it's very exciting for you, and I wish you all the best. But we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show, Tanja, where I'll ask you five quick questions.
Okay.
And get you to come back with five quick answers. We call it our Fast Five. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Name one person who's been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
International leadership expert Simon Sinek. Why? Because he asks us to ask why, to have the meaning of why we're here.
What is your favorite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Get a massage.
What is your favorite business book that you've ever read and why?
Brendan Burchard's Student Guide for Leadership, because the strategy that's in it is really a simple tool for any business owner to adopt to help their people achieve success on purpose and have fun.
What is your favorite technology or online resource that you use daily to help run a better business?
My calendar. It's really simple. Work my plan and plan my work.
It's often said that the success of a real estate business, Tanja, is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties that they manage. But if you had to choose one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, what would it be and what would your advice be to overcome it?
They don't have a mindset for success. John McGrath talks a lot about this game is 90% mindset and 10% skill. For me, in the everyday work that I do, it is really believing that anything is possible and we can make magic happen. And failure doesn't mean we're a failure.
Well, Tanja, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favorite success quote and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
Look, my favorite quote and success quote of all time is by Gandhi, and it is, be the change you want to see in the world. For me, integrity is everything. Knowing myself as my word is everything. So I see a lot of people point the finger that the industry's changing and that's changing and they should change and it's their fault and it's their fault. And when we're pointing at others, there's three other fingers that are pointing back at us that say me, myself, and I. Mm. So before I pass judgment of anybody else, I need to look at my own backyard and ensure that I'm being the change I want to see in the world and act accordingly.
I love that. I love that. Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Tanja has kindly shared with us today, along with all of the show notes, by visiting our website at steps.com.au/podcasts. Well, Tanja, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to say thank you for your time, knowledge, and advice today. I know that people are really going to enjoy your stories and the content that you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about your business?
Awesome. First of all, thank you for the opportunity. I hope it added some value. So my website is all the W's, tmjcoaching.com.au. And my email is Tanja, T-A-N-J-A, at T-M for Mary, jcoaching.com.au.
Fantastic, Tanja. Thank you so much and congratulations on all of your success over the last 12 months. It's been a pleasure having a chat with you.
You too, Josh. Keep spreading the good stuff.
You too. Talk soon.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Real Estate Pros. If you like this episode, please subscribe and you'll be notified of new episodes. I'm Josh Cobb. Now go out and grow your business.